What up, what up? You are listening to WMUC FM College Park Radio. This is Yappin' Chap. Happy to be back. We did not have a show last week because I was in probably Loose somewhere in Midtown Manhattan, doing some networking, meeting some folks. Some you've probably heard of, some you probably haven't. Let's see, where do we go? We went to MLS, Major League Soccer, Sirius XM, The Athletic. I saw the CNN offices, and what was the other one we were at? Anyway, super duper fun. Got to, you know, chop it up with some of the leaders in the sports communication, sports news, sports journalism industry. And so it was very fun, and I'm glad I did it. Even though the bus rides to and fro were a little brutal. Honestly, though, can't complain. Our bus ticket was paid for. Our hotel rooms were paid for by the Povich Center, the Shirley Povich Center for Sports Journalism, here at the Philip Merrill College of Journalism at the University of Maryland, College Park. So, sports journalism leads me into a fun note to start the show off on today. I am in an exceptionally good mood. For the past couple days, couple weeks, couple months, couple years, I have asked and fielded the same question that every college student asks and answers pretty much on a daily basis, which is, what are your plans after college? What are you doing after graduation? You know, what's the plan? And my answer for those same days, weeks, months, and years has been the exact same four words the entire time. They're famous. You can use them in any situation because they're kind of hopeful, but it also really solidifies your sort of neutral position on any topic. And those four words, feel free to use this, are, I don't know yet. Such an underratedly versatile answer in any situation. I don't know yet. Pretty much anywhere besides the stand in a courtroom, you can use the answer, I don't know yet. But that being said, today, April 25th, 2025, a quarter century into the new millennium, a beautiful day, I can finally say that I have a different answer to the question of what are you doing after graduation, an answer different than I don't know yet. As of about exactly an hour ago, actually, I secured an offer to go be an intern at ESPN this summer. I still can't quite believe it. Super fast turnaround process. I interviewed yesterday, and they told me I would have an answer by early next week. And then at like noon today, I get an email from the administrative person who helped set up the interviews saying, hey, I wanted to know when you're free today. I have some good news to share. And I was like, whoa, what? So yeah, just got off the phone, probably at like 2:15, got all the details. And in the immortal words of LeBron James, I'm taking my talents to Bristol, Connecticut. Super excited. The person who I was in contact with at the end of the phone call was like, okay, have a good weekend. And I was like, I think it's going to be hard, like, not to have a good weekend. I mean, it's going to be hard not to have a good, like month and a half, I think. Because it starts at the beginning of June. And, like, literally coming home, walking home from middle school and high school every day and watching the same lineup of highly questionable, pardon the interruption, Around the Horn, and finally Sports Center. And now I am going to work at that company. That is very, it's a good thing that happened. Yeah, like I said, just in an exceptionally good mood right now. Cannot wait for Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday night and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I can't wait for all of the days that are coming in the next week or so, whatever. I'm just going to be over the moon. Nothing can bring me down. Maybe the Knicks. The Knicks might disappoint me. That's really the one team I'm, kind of worried about right now. Luckily, don't have to watch the Rangers in the playoffs. Baseball, it's still early. And the NFL draft happened last night. Guys, this is just the time to be alive right now in sports. We have kind of a lot to talk about. We had the draft, storylines from the draft, other things going on in the NFL that aren't even draft related. You have basketball playoffs and hockey playoffs and a crazy random headline from the world of basketball that is not playoffs related whatsoever. We have baseball. We have, we have a tradition here of updating the listeners on who is leading the league in ERA. And by leading the league, that is to say in dead last in terms of how high their ERA is. We have an answer and an update for you guys today that you probably are not going to believe, but the math is accurate. And even last week, what a terrible week not to have a show because we didn't even get to talk about Rory McIlroy winning the Masters. Finally, I shed a tear in his whatever they call the post-game interview in golf when he was like, when they asked him about his parents and he couldn't even get the words out. I was like, oh my God, that's Rory, man. We love Rory. Wow. What a time. I always say that April is such an underrated month for the sports world, and we are seeing why right now. Can't wait to get into it. And on top of all of that, as if it could not get any better, chicken nuggets are back at Taco Bell. Oh my God, what a time. What a time. We're just firing on all cylinders right now. It's all coming up, chap. And you know damn well I'm leaving here at 4 p.m. and going right to Taco Bell and getting my nugs and whatever. I'm getting every single sauce that they offer, and I'm just going to dunk them and eat them and just feel good about life for as long as I can on this beautiful Friday. It could be sunnier, actually. It's kind of cloudy. But the temperature's in a perfect spot. We are living life, and we are loving every single minute of it. Let's get into it. This is Yappin' Chat. Let's go, baby!
It's only a game.
Because there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos that will be a home run.
Is this the dagger?
Little roller up along first.
It's my quarter.
Fatso there just forgot to shake my hand.
Sneho!
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap! And the ball is free!
Yep.
I wouldn't call myself a Shedeur Sanders hater. I know they exist, but I know he's a big personality. I know he's a polarizing figure because Colorado dominates a lot of the media landscape, but they're not really that good. Do I think he deserved to be drafted in the first round? I'll say it depends, which is a terrible answer. But truth be told, I mean, as far as quarterbacks in the first round, the best one was taken off the board at first overall. Truthfully. Cam Ward goes to the Tennessee Titans, who, you know, the Will Levis experiment did not work. I don't think anyone's really upset about this pick for Tennessee. Yeah, I like him. I like Cam Ward. I like Shedeur Sanders. I mean, we're going to see him get drafted tonight. I don't think there's any doubt about that. ESPN has him at the eighth best remaining player, best quarterback remaining in the pool. Only two quarterbacks drafted in the first round. We saw Jackson Dart on his way to the Big Apple. I believe 22nd overall he was drafted. Yeah, 25th. You know, if you're Shedeur Sanders, if you're Deion Sanders, right, I think ultimately, even though Deion said he was going to get drafted in the top 10, it's whatever. It doesn't really matter. The draft, someday, people will figure out that the literal number at which players are drafted does not really matter. So we will surely see Shedeur Sanders drafted tonight. As for last night, we had Ward at first overall. The Jacksonville Jaguars trade up into the second position, giving their fifth overall pick to the Cleveland Browns, and they snag Travis Hunter, another polarizing figure, pretty much just because he plays for Colorado. Someone who I think, as far as people, you know, players that have been drafted in this first round, I think the most eyes and the most anticipation and intrigue as far as these, you know, early stages in their careers, I think the most attention will probably be on Travis Hunter. Just because of, you know, the fact that he is a two-way player. He's a wide receiver. He's a defensive back. He wants to keep playing both. And the prevailing narratives in the landscape have been, well, you know, you can dominate as a wide receiver at Colorado. You can dominate as a DB at Colorado. You can do both at Colorado. You're playing against the Big 12, formerly some Pac-12 teams. You're playing Mountain West teams. Whether or not you can do it in the NFL is a completely different story. And Travis Hunter wants to continue to play both sides of the ball, which as a fan, you love that. You love the confidence. You love that he wants to be the best on both sides of the ball. Great mindset. This is the NFL, though. One injury, one bad game, one, dare I say, social media clip, and it could all be over as far as that endeavor to be the Shohei Ohtani of the NFL. And by the way, if Travis Hunter goes out and has a great career, an outstanding career as a wide receiver or as a DB and not as both, nobody is going to look back on the draft and his pre-draft narratives and be like, oh, well, actually, his career is kind of a failure if you look at it because he was supposed to be, you know, legendary in both positions. No one is going to say that. Least of all Jaguars fans who, for the better part of, let's call it, what, nearly 30 years now, more than 30 years, have been oh so desperate for a superstar, a franchise player. It looked for a short interval of time that Trevor Lawrence might be that person. But that time came and went very quickly. And if you're a Jaguars fan, you just want Travis Hunter to stay healthy. That's it. That's it. Because I keep bringing up the health thing because you're assuming if he plays on both sides of a ball that his workload as a player will be increased, therefore increasing his chance of injury in a league where injuries more or less happen every play. So I think the most anticipation is going to fall onto Travis Hunter. Giants, with the third overall pick, they grab Abdul Carter, the edge rusher from Penn State. I mean, if you're the Giants, there's no way you can live with yourself if you pass on Abdul Carter at 3. There's just no way. I know the Giants as an organization are not in the spot that they thought they would be right now after what happened 2 years ago with the playoff run with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. I know that just 2 short years later, this is not the position they thought they'd be in. But Abdul Carter, oh my goodness. I mean, if there's a player to start building your defense around, and the Giants defense, by the way, is not like god awful. They still have some playmakers, especially up front. But this is the guy to do it, to base everything around. You basically have a Micah Parsons carbon copy, same number at the same university and everything. I mean, you have to be satisfied with this if you're a Giants fan. You just have to be. Will Campbell at 4. This is the same thing we see every year. Offensive tackle, offensive guard, center, whatever it is, an offensive lineman is pretty much never a bad pick. It's pretty much never a bad pick, and the Patriots are a team that pretty much has the guy they think is going to be their franchise quarterback in Drake May. They have their franchise cornerback in Christian Gonzalez. Their team needs are everything else. And so it starts with protecting the most important guy on your roster, which is Drake May, your quarterback. They go and they pick up an offensive tackle at 4th overall. I like it. I really like it for New England. It's never a bad pick to pick an offensive guard. Do they work out sometimes? I'm not saying they work out every single time. I'm not saying they're superstars and Pro Bowlers every single time. But it is an area of any team's roster that can always be better. You can't say that about every position, but you can always, always, always upgrade your offensive line and your defensive line for that matter as well. But the offensive line, obviously, you know, probably the least sexy position in all of pro sports, and yet at the same time, one of the most important because of what their job is as a unit. The Browns finding themselves with the 5th pick After trading down with Jacksonville, they pick up Mason Graham, nose tackle, Michigan. Same thing, right? And then Ashton Jeanty, the Heisman runner-up, star running back out of Boise State, a Bronco. Literally, I mean, he just the way he plays football, he is like a Bronco. Just like a thick, like tank sort of Bronco, but like still fast, like a horse, you know. The Raiders, I kind of like this actually. As much as I wanted Ashton Jeanty to fall in this draft so that my Dallas Cowboys could nab him at 12, I knew it wasn't really that realistic. And looking at the teams in the sort of like 6 to 10 range where he was projected to fall, I think he fits on the Raiders. I don't think the Raiders are like super amazing or anything. They just, what are they? Geno Smith, right, is their quarterback now. I think it could really be a good fit. I'll be rooting for him. Wanted him to win the Heisman. Do I think it makes the Raiders a playoff contender? It's tough to say. Their quarterback play is just probably going to be so much better this year, which is really what killed them last year. You still have Max Crosby on the back end, and now you get a premier, what figures to be a premier running talent, a workhorse. I expect Ashton Jeanty to burst onto the scene and have a great rookie year. He'll be in the talks for rookie of the year. I don't doubt it. I'm not going to go through every pick, obviously, but just because the next pick, the seventh pick, was the Jets. My dad and I have this funny thing that we do every year. There's a great video on YouTube that just deserves an annual rewatching every draft night. It has a very simple title, short, clear, to the point. It is called New York Jets. Not even New York, it's called NY. NY. New York Jets Draft Blunders. It is one of my favorite videos on the internet. It's from March of 2006 is when it was posted. So think about all of the draft blunders that the Jets have made in the past 20 years. None of them are on this video because the video is from 2006. And yet it's still almost 2 minutes long. And it is just, it's so hilarious. I just love it. And my dad sends it to me at like late last night. And I'm like, dude, like I've been, this is late. Like you're late to the party. I've been watching this video pretty much all day. Like I was waiting for you to send it. I thought you forgot. But if you haven't seen it, just take a minute and a half out of your day and go watch New York Jets Draft Blunders. It's a hilarious video. Some other picks from the first round. Amika Egbuka goes to the Buccaneers. I really, actually, really like that for the Buccaneers. I think him and Baker are going to get along so well. And I just think it's a great landing spot for the Ohio State product, who led their receiving efforts on a national championship winning team. Omarion Hampton, the UNC running back, probably widely looked at as the second best running back in this draft class behind Ashton Jeanty. He finds himself in Los Angeles with the Chargers. So goes from, I always like when players' college colors are similar or the same as their pro colors. So Omarion Hampton will go from wearing Tar Heel blue to powder blue, which I don't know. I just, that's how my brain works. I don't know. I like looking at it. Yeah, that's it. Sanders goes undrafted. We will see him. We will see his name called tonight. I mean, we have to, right? In other NFL news, Adrian Peterson picks up a nice DWI this morning in Minnesota. I can't think of a tasteful joke to make on the air, so I won't. Let's talk about, let's see, we're almost at the halfway point. I want to wait till after the PSA to get into basketball playoffs, hockey playoffs. So real quick, why don't we talk about baseball real quick? I can talk about the ERA because this is just too funny. We got the Tigers and the Yankees up top in the American League. And the National League is funny because it's the Mets. And then right behind them are all three teams from California. The Padres, the Giants, the Dodgers. So, I don't know. There's not really interesting beyond the fact that they all play in California. And the fact that the Mets colors were chosen based on the Dodgers and Giants. If you didn't know that, you should look it up. It's kind of cool. The Nationals have a better record than the Orioles. I remember saying that 2 weeks ago. Don't know what's going on in Birdland right now. It kind of hurts my heart a little bit because this Orioles team was supposed to contend for a pennant this year. And it's still very early. Let's not lose focus, lose sight of that fact that it is not even May yet. We don't really need to be talking about October quite yet. But what, they're like 10-15 or something. There's no pitching. Nobody's really hitting. This was kind of supposed to be one of the more fun to watch rosters in baseball. Doesn't look like it right now. Jackson Holliday stinks. Don't know what's going on. I hope they figure it out for like all of, not only, you know, the Orioles fan base, but just for the sake of baseball. Like, this is supposed to be like one of the fun teams. This reminds me of what the Blue Jays went through the past couple years with like really fun, exciting young players who were primed to be like superstars, like instant stars after like a season, maybe two. And like, they kind of just never reached that. They never really got to that point. Orioles have been swept in the wild card round each of the past 2 years. I don't know. It's too early to be talking about playoffs. So whatever, disregard that. But our ERA leader. So what I do is I go onto Baseball Reference and I go to the pitching stats and, you know, I go to the pitching leaders. I click on the column that has ERA. Of course, when you sort by that column, it defaults to lowest ERA first. So I have to click it again to get the higher numbers on top. And there's a little checkbox you can click, which is to basically include qualified players or not. Now, when we say qualified, we're talking about players who qualify for end of season awards. And to qualify for those awards, you have to have, as a pitcher, at least one inning pitched per team game. So, you know, I actually don't even know if that's true. I thought that's what it was, though. But anyway, I have to uncheck that box because what makes the ERAs higher is the smaller sample size. It is. It's one inning pitched per team game played. So basically, you know, the only way you get a really high ERA is to have a really low amount of innings pitched. So I uncheck the box so that we can really see just the ridiculous numbers. And wouldn't you believe it? Congratulations to Troy Taylor of the Seattle Mariners. He's 23 years old. He's pitched in one game this season for Seattle. He came in. He gave up 3 earned runs. And he got taken out. He did not record an out. So if we're doing the math, earned run average is how many runs you give up per 9 innings pitched on average. Well, if you didn't record an out, you technically did not pitch any innings. So, if you haven't figured it out yet, Troy Taylor's ERA as of right now is a whopping infinity. Oh my goodness. I looked at this guy's career page. Thank God he pitched last year so that this outing, whenever it was that he had this year, thank God it wasn't his major league debut. Can you imagine making your big league debut on the mound and your manager comes to get the ball from you and you go into the dugout in the clubhouse and you look up at the stats and see that your ERA is infinity? How many runs does Troy Taylor give up across 9 innings on average? The answer right now is yes. Brutal. Obviously, we can assume that Taylor will have at least... Well, you can assume he'll record at least one out on this season, right? I don't even know what that ERA would be if he had one out recorded and 3 earned runs. I think it's maybe 33. But this didn't happen last year. We got into the triple digits. Someone had like a 180 or something like that, but infinity. It's literally when you sort the ERA column, you uncheck the box is literally blank. Because, you know, it's just an equation in that column. It's just coded, right? You know, whatever the equation is, I don't even remember what it is, but it's just math in that box and it returns literally nothing. It's just blank because he hasn't recorded it out. So it's just infinity. Crazy. Gonna be a hard bar to beat because you literally can't. So congratulations to Troy Taylor, whose ERA is currently not represented by a number known to the human brain. Let's go to a PSA. What do we got here? What do we got here? I'm in just a fantastic mood. Let's go with the Best Buddies PSA. See you in 40 seconds.
Are you looking for a club that celebrates friendship? Then Best Buddies might be the one for you. We organize social events for local folks with disabilities to come to campus and hang out. Some of our highlights of the past years have been our holiday parties, a polar bear plunge in the freezing Chesapeake Bay, our friendship walk with Best Buddies branches from around the state, and a winter formal with over 80 people. And if you want to learn more information, check out our Instagram at BestBuddiesUMD.
BestBuddiesUMD on Instagram. Go check them out. What do we got? What else we got? Let's get into some playoffs. Some things to talk about. We're going to start on the hardwood. According to Adam Silver, whose birthday is today, by the way. We'll shout him out later. According to Adam Silver, the ratings are at an all-time high. Who knew after the dreadful rating season that the NBA had this year? I mean, I guess I believe it. I don't know. Does anyone have a motivation to lie about that? Probably. I'm not going to accuse anyone of that. The playoffs have been decent. I'm not going to say they've been bad. Some games have been really bad. Last night we had some fantastic games, actually. Thunder, 26-point comeback. I'm going to get to that game. Why don't I just get into the games? Start with tonight. These series have just not been... The Boston-Orlando series is just... A Cleveland series, too. They're just unwatchable. But the Celtics-Magic series will head to Orlando tonight at 7. Boston is up 2-0. If the Magic win a game in this series, we'll all be impressed. Honestly. It's just a shame because, like, I do like the Magic as a team. I think they're a young, up-and-coming team. The Celtics, you know, defending champs are hard to root for. And obviously, I despise the Boston sports market in general. But like, these teams do not belong on the floor together. Peyton Pritchard, sixth man of the year, by the way. Love Peyton Pritchard. Always loved Peyton Pritchard. And like, I don't know if anyone saw the reaction video when he like got the call. He's just like, yo, yeah, oh, thanks. Like, it seems like he doesn't care. Probably locked in on his team's playoff games. That's why he's one of my favorite players in the league. Pacers-Bucks series had some fireworks at the beginning. Tyrese Haliburton, who no one seems to like. As a fan of the team that lost to the Pacers in the playoffs last year, I'm here for all of the Tyrese Haliburton hate. But it's always funny when like the NBA stars all just kind of like gang up on one dude for no real reason. The big narrative surrounding Tyrese Haliburton is that he only talks, you know, he's only like, you know, talking trash on the court. Like when his team is up big, you'll never hear him open his mouth when his team's losing. So they're saying he's soft and like, you know, just only talks when they're up big. So whatever. He got into it with Damian Lillard, who's like barely even there in the series. It's like, whatever. This Bucks team, man, have they seen better days. Down 2-0 to the Pacers right now. They'll play tonight in Milwaukee. And then the Lakers and Timberwolves play tonight. That series goes to Minneapolis. They're tied 1-1. Timberwolves winning game 1, Lakers game 2. That'll be at 9:30. Storylines from this series, nothing crazy. I mean, it's LeBron, so there's always going to be attention. It's whatever. I mean, I think the Lakers should comfortably win this series. Anthony Edwards, I'm sure, will steal a game all on his own at some point. But I don't really expect the Timberwolves to make it out of this round. Tomorrow, the Cavaliers Heat series is just not fun to watch. Plain and simple. This is funny. This is like the LeBron Bowl with the Cavaliers and the Heat facing off. Cavs are up 2-0 in the series. They're the top seed in the East. Series will go to Miami, one of the better home courts in the NBA. So I'm not saying the Heat are incapable of winning a game, but like the series is going to be 4-0, I feel like. Evan Mobley just got announced as the Defensive Player of the Year. Big news. Well-deserved. I'm so happy they didn't give it to Draymond Green. Because Mobley's actually been holding it down for some years now. And it's nice to see him be recognized. The Thunder and Grizzlies, man, this 26-point comeback last night, it's such a shame because it's essentially, if you're a Grizzlies player or fan or whoever, you're essentially watching your season get choked away, right? Blowing a 26-point lead to go down 3-0 to the team with the best record in the entire league. Your season, that was your season. Think about, like, having a 26-point lead and just slowly watching it crumble away, and it probably hits you in that moment, like, oh, we're done. This is it. It's over. There is no, you know, the fourth game in this series is essentially a formality. The Thunder will probably win by upwards of 20 points. It's not going to be a good game, I don't think. You've given up if you're a Grizzly right now. You probably took your hardest swing in game 3 and you blew a 26-point lead. It's over. You know, everyone knows it's over. Everyone in the building, everyone in both organizations, everyone in the league, everyone in the world knows that this series is over. It's sad. John Morant had a scary injury, had like a scary fall. So, I mean, it goes from bad to worse if you're a Memphis fan. A couple injuries. We saw Russell Westbrook leave the Clippers-Nuggets game. Clippers are up in this one, 2-1. And their game 4 in Los Angeles is tomorrow evening. Russ, you know, he's getting hurt. Jimmy Butler gets hurt for the Warriors. Their series is tied 1-1. And that series will go to it'll go to San Francisco tomorrow. Steph being Steph, is anyone surprised? The answer is no. And then the Knicks Pistons series, which has just been, in my opinion, it's just been like a classic NBA playoff series, especially like one of those old school Eastern Conference series where it's kind of a bloodbath. The officiating is horrible on both sides. Weird plays at the end of games, wins on the road. Like it's been classic. It's been really entertaining to watch. Knicks won last night in controversy. The officiating has just been horrible. I mean, probably a lot of Knicks fans, I would assume, would be say like, oh, Brunson is getting hacked and whacked and they're not calling it. If you're a Pistons fan, you think the refs are screwing your team over, calling too many fouls. That's how you know when both teams think they're getting shafted in the deal. That's how you know it's just bad reffing. Because really, if you look at some of the things that have been let go in the series versus what's been called, it's just not really adding up at times. We had 5 technicals in the game last night. Knicks somehow get out of there with a win. They led for the entire second half. Or at least the entire fourth quarter. But, the gap was very close, including at the end. They're up 2-1. Game 4 of that series will be Sunday. And then the weirdest story out of basketball is Gilbert Arenas' son, Elijah, just got out of a coma after getting into a car accident. They are saying he's showing really good signs of recovery, though, so that is obviously best case scenario there. But just a crazy, crazy headline there. In the NHL, try to go a little quickly here. Capitals look like they're in control against Montreal, but series does go back north of the border tonight at 7 at the Bell Center, Center Bell. Alex Ovechkin with his first career playoff overtime goal, which is incredibly hard to believe. Got the job done in game, was that game one or two? Man, I can't even remember now. I think it was game one. But yeah, the Caps lead 2-0 in that series. Carolina's up 2-0 on the Devils. They'll play tonight in Jersey. Kings are up 2-0 on the Oilers. They'll play tonight in Edmonton. I think the Kings and Oilers have played each other in the first round for like the fourth straight year. The seeding system in hockey needs to go back to 1-8. Florida Panthers are up 2-0 on the Lightning in the Battle of Florida. They'll play tomorrow afternoon. Minnesota Wild have been kind of the surprise thus far in the hockey playoffs. They're the 4 seed taking on the top-seeded Vegas Golden Knights. They lead that series 2-1. And they'll play tomorrow. Oh, it just came out. Ja Morant is not playing tomorrow in Game 4 against the Thunder. But the Minnesota Wild kind of turning some heads right now. Up 2-1. Chance to go up 3-1 tomorrow. They're at home in Minneapolis. Not sure what's going on with Vegas. And then the Toronto Maple Leafs, last night, overtime winner. Their second one of the series to go up 3-0 on the Ottawa Senators, back in the playoffs for the first time in forever, it feels like. It's only been like 5 years, though, I think. 5-6 years. Senators were a good story this year, but the Maple Leafs, they're just better. I mean, really, they're just better. So game four of that series will be tomorrow night in Ottawa. And then the best, I would probably say this has been the best series so far, the Dallas-Colorado series, which is always good when these two teams meet in the postseason. Dallas, Colorado, and Vegas have like this triangle of like any combination of the three of them is always going to produce like a really entertaining, fast-paced, memorable playoff series. Stars are up 2-1, taking the first game in Colorado. The second game in Colorado will be tomorrow night. Big story for the Avalanche, getting their captain Gabriel Landeskog back into the lineup after 3 years. He had been dealing with injuries for 3 years, and he's finally back, no doubt lighting a fire under the Avalanche. So maybe they can dig themselves out of a 2-1 hole here against the Stars, who had a really good season as well. Winnipeg and St. Louis, they'll play Sunday beneath the Gateway Arch. Jets are up 2-1 in that series. And our other headline in hockey, a mistrial declared in the Hockey Canada assault case. If you aren't familiar with this case, look it up. It is just basically kind of, I mean, your imagination is probably serving you correctly. Let's put it that way. Hockey Canada was, I mean, kind of on the downswing in terms of like public perception before this. They're, some would say, deeply mismanaged. And then this case, sexual assault allegations against not one, not two, and not three of its players in the same incident. Definitely kind of the nail in the coffin for Hockey Canada. Just really needs a mass overhaul, administratively speaking. It just needs new culture, plain and simple. All right, we got 10 minutes here, probably a little less. Let's talk about this day in sports history. We have kind of a long list. Well, a long list of birthdays, actually. The anniversaries, the only thing we can talk about, which we can talk about for a little bit, 1950, April 25th, 1950, Chuck Cooper of Duquesne University becomes the first black player to be drafted into the National Basketball Association. He goes 13th in the second round to the Boston Celtics. I bring this up because it's important, first of all, but I actually just did some research into Chuck Cooper and the Duquesne men's team. The class that I have here with Kevin Blackistone, we have a semester-long project to find and research instances, ideally from the past. And when I say ideally, I mean as opposed to happening right now. Instances where NCAA games were canceled for, you know, canceled, forfeited, whatever, on the basis of one team refused to play against a team with black players on it. And so I discovered Chuck Cooper and the late 40s Duquesne Dukes men's basketball team. Here's a story for you. Duquesne is in Pittsburgh, for those of you who don't know, and they are hosting a game against the University of Tennessee, right? So Tennessee drives up from Knoxville. This is in 1947. They drive up from Knoxville. They get to Pittsburgh. They get into the arena. They're all dressed and ready to go. They come out for warm-ups, and they see that Duquesne has a black player on their team. It's Chuck Cooper, their center, their best player. And the Tennessee coach apparently didn't know this before they got there. So he gets the Duquesne coach and he's like, "Yo, my guy, we don't play against black players." And the Duquesne coach is like, "What? Like, what do you mean? You drove here. What do you mean? Like, you didn't know that Chuck Cooper was on our team?" The two head coaches go into what can only be described as deliberation for 2 hours. They delay the game for 2 hours. At one point, the Duquesne head coach said, what if I only play him if it's close at the end of the game?" can you even wrap your head around that? As a bargaining chip to try to get this game underway, the Duquesne coach said, "What if I only bring my best player in the last 2 minutes of the game if it's a close game?" Crazy. And the craziest thing about it was the Tennessee head coach said, "No, that's not good enough. We're going home." And so they forfeited. Tennessee forfeited the game and turned around and drove home. Gets better. Miami, Florida. This was in December of 1947. Miami has a game in January hosting Duquesne. They're going to play an outdoor basketball game at the Orange Bowl, which I didn't even know that used to happen. But they get wind. The New York Times reports the Duquesne-Tennessee story. And so Miami gets wind of it. And like 2 days later, they give Duquesne Athletics a call and they're like, "Hey, by the way, we don't allow white and black players to compete in the same athletic events." And Duquesne's like, "Are you serious?" And Miami's like, "Yeah, we're serious." And so that game gets canceled. Crazy. Even though, you know, it's still like a month away. Just a kind of a wild time that was less than 80 years ago. Crazy. And then obviously Chuck Cooper goes on, makes some history of his own as the first black player drafted into the NBA on this day in 1950. Happy 73rd birthday, Vladislav Tretiak, who was the goalie of the Soviet team that lost to the Miracle on Ice U.S. team in 1980. If you have not seen the 30 for 30 titled Of Miracles and Men, you are missing out on a fantastic viewing experience. Highly recommend. Happy 63rd birthday, Adam Silver. We mentioned this earlier. I guess ratings are up in the playoffs. If you say so, Adam. He spoke at the journalism school last year, which is pretty cool. Happy 56th birthday to Darren Woodson, the famed safety in Dallas Cowboys history, a five-time Pro Bowler, three-time Super Bowl champion with the Cowboys. Happy 50th. He shares a birthday with Joe Buck. And that is just a disgusting act by Randy Moss. Probably my favorite Joe Buck call, even though, you know, I was like maybe 1 year old. Joe Buck hate is overrated. And luckily, it's started to come down in recent years. And lastly, a happy 49th birthday to Tim Duncan, one of the greatest players in NBA history, a five-time champion, three-time finals MVP, two MVP awards, 15-time All-Star, 10 first-team mentions, and 8 defensive first-team mentions. We love Timmy Duncan, the big fundamental, one of the great nicknames in sports history. Well, all right. I think that about does it for this, the 49th episode of Yap and Chap, the Ron Guidry episode. I know my dad will appreciate that reference. He wore number 49. It's not like a complicated thing. Yeah. NFL draft continues tonight. Second and third rounds. NBA playoffs. NHL playoffs. Baseball, if you fancy. Shout out Rory McIlroy. Yeah, I'm just, wow. I'm not even on a cloud nine right now. I'm on like cloud, like 18. Like, just double it. That's where I'm at right now. Just living life. Living life right now. Loving every moment of it. I love this university with all my heart. And a huge shout out to the Philip Merrill College of Journalism. Next week, what are we going to talk about? Who knows? Not sure. But I'm sure we'll cover everything that happened between now and then. Go enjoy your Friday. Go enjoy your weekend. I know I'm going to do both of those things very much. I'm on my way to Taco Bell right now to pick up some crispy nugs. So I'll see you all next week here on WMUC FM College Park Radio. Peace.
Our toes in the sand. I can see us on the countryside, sitting on the grassland side by side. You can be my baby, wanna make you my lady. Girl, you amaze me, ain't gotta do nothing crazy. See, all I want you to do is be my love.
So don't give away.
My